Aren't you glad that you chose to be in the house of the Lord today? I know I am. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let me pray before we start, okay? Father, it is a privilege for us to be in your house today, God. As I was listening to the music there, it just dawned on me what a blessing it is to be able to come to gather on a Sunday morning to sing praises to you, to worship you, to hear the music, Father, that praises you. And what a blessing it is, God, to be able to come and just focus for an hour or two upon you as we give back to you this day that you have called your day. And God, I am thankful for these that have gathered here today at this time of the year to celebrate the birth of your Son, to celebrate the love that came down from heaven. And God, I pray during this time that we will continue to keep our eyes upon you, that we will continue to think about and ponder the goodness of your gift that you gave us. So God, we thank you for that. Father, we ask that you will just speak today like only you can. Hide me behind your cross, Father. I pray for you to stretch your hand out and touch my mouth and give me your words to speak today. Father, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who will be working in our service today. Thank you, Father, that we have gathered to come to worship you. Father, I ask these in your holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. We'll be in 1 Peter, if you want to go there. 1 Peter 1 is where the verses will be when we finally get there. You know that this week and this month we have been looking at Jesus, the reason for the season. And 2 weeks ago we looked at Jesus as the Word. And last week, Jesus is our answer. And this week it will be Jesus is our living hope. Our living hope. You know, people, today's world can't live without hope. There has to be something out there that gives people a motivation. And we know that life can be hard sometimes. We know that people suffer injustice, if you would. We know people sometimes are suffering in poverty. We know that we live in a society that are trying to push us into a wokeness, if you would, to push us into a godless society, a society that wants to take away our hope. And today we're going to look at that hope. We are really going to look at it as probably in two different angles, if you would, and maybe two different things, but I think we will see that when we look at both of the angles that we're going to look at hope today, that they all will converge into one area and will converge into one person, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. You know, people think hope is wishful thinking. Maybe something will happen. I hope it does. It is kind of like the idea of fingers crossed wishing that it will happen. What could have been, should have been, would have been. And we think of hope as being that way. Man, I hope this happens. But I think the Bible has a different definition of hope, if you would. The Bible would tell us hope is a confident reassurance in the Lord. That is that no matter what happens, the things we see and the things we cannot see, that it's still going to be good. But I like the definition that I have come up with. I don't know. Something that really makes sense to me. And it is, hope, I believe, is the quiet assurance knowing that God will do what God has promised he would do. Now just think about that just for a minute. It is the quiet assurance and even confidence that God will do what he said he will do. That's hope. Do you know that God, when God speaks, he will do what he says he'll do? That's hope, okay? He will do what he says he will do. In Genesis, he told us that he will send a Messiah after Adam and Eve fell. That he will send a Messiah. He sent a Messiah, did he not? When Jesus said, when God tells us that he told Joshua in Joshua 1:9, I will be with you wherever you go. He did that promise, and he's doing that promise for all of us Christians. When God tells us he loves us, well, in Romans 8:5, he demonstrated that love, did he not, on the cross. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God has told us that he will forgive us of our sins. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us of our sins. And what does he do with those sins that we have confessed and repented of? The Bible tells us in Psalm 103:12, he has removed them as far as the east is from the west. You see, God will do what he tells us he will do. When God says, I'm coming back, he hasn't come back yet, but one of these days there's going to be a shout, and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then those who are left will be caught up in the air. God is going to do what he's promised he would do. When he says, I'm going to provide a eternal rest for you in heaven. Go back and read John 14, 1, 2, and 3. Talks about that rest that we will have. When God says that his son, Jesus, is the only way to go to heaven, it is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You see, God is doing things, he has done things, and he will continue to do things. Of the things that he has said, he will do. What a great hope. And when we read his word and we see that Christ has spoken, or that God has spoken through the prophets, every one of those spoken words will happen one day. It's either happened, gonna happen, or it's already done. What a blessing that is. That is hope, knowing that God will do exactly what God said he will do. And without hope, without a person that has hope, their life has no meaning. Their life has no purpose. And that when this life is over for them and they have no hope, they will be separated from holy God forever and forever. 1 Corinthians 15 says, among all men, those men must be pitied. People that live without hope. People that live without hope today. People that live with hope that don't believe that God will do what he says are to be most pitied, the Bible says. You know, because we have a living hope in Christ, because we have put our hope in Christ, because we understand that he's going to do what he said he was going to do, we literally can have a confidence that God will do what God is wanting to do in our lives. We can have confidence that God has a plan for us and that we are able to follow that plan if we choose to. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for your calamity or for your harm, I guess you might say, to give you a future and a hope. Because we have placed our hope in Christ, the Bible says, I've got a plan for you, and it's a really good plan. Because we have a living hope in Jesus, we no longer have to fear and have anxiety for today. Because God knows us, and he wants to supply whatever we need. Psalms 46:1 says this, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And in that next verse, therefore, I do not have to fear. See, that's a promise, is it not? And God is fulfilling that promise if you allow him to fulfill that promise. That he will be our refuge, our strength, our help. And because of that, we do not have to fear today. We do not have to fear the future. We do not have to fear eternity, because we made Jesus our Lord and our Savior. Hope is knowing that God will do exactly what God says he will do. The second thing I want to show you about hope today is in that 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 3, if you want to look there. And it says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord." What is this living hope that he talks about here through the resurrection of Jesus Christ? The living hope that he's talking about here is eternal life. Eternal life. The privilege and the opportunity that you and I have to be able to live with holy God forever and forever. And as that living hope is begins when we make Christ our Lord and Savior. And that living hope extends past the death into eternity. And we can have living hope. We have eternity because Jesus has told us that there is a place that he's going to place us when we die, because we are his believers. John 14, 1, 2, and 3 tells us about that, does it not? And I won't put it on there, but it's just, let me paraphrase it, where it says, Jesus has said that where I am, there you will be also. And where is Jesus now? The Bible tells us he sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And he has made that promise, and he has told us that because we have this living hope of eternity, there we will be with him in heaven. What a great promise that is. And that begins when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. We can have this abundant life now. We can have the abundant life for eternity because we have this living hope of eternity in us. Where does this living hope come from? Where does this idea of eternity come from? Well, we see it in those verses, or that verse 3. He says the first thing we see, and what a beautiful blessing it is, that God initiated the idea of salvation. And it comes from him, and he says right there in that verse 3, because of his great mercy. His great mercy. We have an opportunity to live with him forever. God's great mercy. Mercy is not giving someone what they deserve. And you know what we deserve? Because we have rebelled and rejected and turned our back on God, we deserve God's wrath. We deserve God's punishment. We deserve God's condemnation because we have sinned and have separated from him. But it says, because of his great mercy, because of his patience, because he does not want to condemn anyone, he made a plan for us. He withholds his judgment from us. And he came up with a plan in order that we might be able to live with him forever and forever. That great verse in 2 Peter 3:9, where it says, "And God is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient to all, not wishing any to perish, but all to come to repentance." You see, that is mercy. We don't deserve mercy. We deserve his wrath and his judgment. But he doesn't want to inflict that upon anybody. He wants all of us to repent and all of us to come to the Lord as his Savior. You know, Ephesians 2, 5, 4, and 5 says it this way. But God being rich in mercy. I think that word rich could be abundant, could be filling, could be overflowing. His mercy is overflowing because of who he is. But being rich in mercy because of what? His great love with which he loved us. Wow. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, we were made alive together with Christ. Because of the mercies of God and because he set up this plan of how to receive salvation, we all can have a living hope of eternity, being with him forever and forever. a living hope also comes from being born again. We see that in that verse there. It caused us to be born again to a living hope. Born again. When we make Jesus our Lord and our Savior. When we have been born in the flesh and now we are being born in the Spirit. When we have given our hearts and life to Christ. When we have committed our life to live for Him. To allow Him to be our Savior, but more, to allow Him to be our Lord. The Bible says we have been born again. And when we are born again, the Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we have been a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And we talked about this last week. When we are born again, we have a new passion, a new plan, a new priority, and a new purpose in life. He has changed us from the inside out. And because He has done that, we have been given the gift of being born again, which allows us, that's living hope, which allows us to live with Him forever and forever. And we see also in that same verse, the living hope comes from, or the consequence of that living hope is through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. When we put our faith and trust in Christ, and we trust and believe that He is raised from the dead, the Bible says, you shall be saved. You see, God has the power to raise the dead. God has the power to raise Jesus from that old cold tomb and raise Him up to life. And if Jesus has, and God has the power to raise Jesus up from the tomb, He has the power to raise us up one of these days. And that's going to happen in that great rapture that we just mentioned. He has the power through the resurrection of Jesus to allow us to have this living hope of eternity. You know, because God has promised what He will do, hope, and because He has promised us eternal glory, if you would, He's also given us an inheritance. Did you know that? As Christians, we have an inheritance. Just like, you know, you leave your family members something when you pass, God has left us an inheritance. I want to just remind you about what that is, that gift of that inheritance. Some of the things that God has given to us as an inheritance when we move from this world to the next. We are now blameless and forgiven. What a great inheritance is that. We are blameless and forgiven as we stand before holy God. He has given us the gift of eternal life. He has given us the gift of eternal peace and joy and happiness. That's not bad. He has given the gift of the crown of righteousness, the crown of incorruption, the crown of life, and the crown of glory. He has given us the privilege to be able to stand around the throne room of God and praise Him forever and forever and forever. To sing praises to Him. And you say, well, I don't sing. I can promise you when you get to heaven, you will be singing. And you get the privilege of being able to do that. That is part of your inheritance. He has given us unsearchable riches that He has set aside for you and I as our inheritance. He has given us unspeakable glory and beauty that will never fade. He has allowed us to be adopted into the family of God. And He's given us His Holy Spirit now and forever. That's a pretty good inheritance, you know it? Because those inheritances will never rust, rot, or wear out. All because that we made Christ our Lord and Savior. All because we have eternity. We have this living hope because of Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross. We continue there in verse 4 about this inheritance that He's given to us. And He says, this inheritance is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, and reserved in heaven for you. The inheritance that we have is not imperishable. It will not age, will not rust, will not wear out, will not go away. When we sit in heaven, that is, nothing will affect that gift. It is undefiled. That is the inheritance that we have. It is undefiled, that nothing will come about to defile that, to make that ugly, to make that dirty, to make that polluted. It will be perfect as we reside in heaven. We see that it is, will not fade away. Our inheritance in heaven will never fade away. That will never lose its luster, will never lose its beauty. It will never, the trees in heaven will never fade away, will never turn color, the trees will never die, you might say. The beauty will always be there. And then it says about our inheritance. It is reserved in heaven for you. Our inheritance is reserved. Jesus has set aside your inheritance in heaven. He has gone to prepare a place for you. He has gone to prepare a place for you. And he's got your inheritance ready for you when he's done with you here on this earth. When he calls you home, your inheritance will already be there. He's already prepared for that. And he tells us that in John 14, verse 3. What a beautiful thing that will be. But how do we know that that's all going to take place? How do we know that we have this living hope and that we will acquire this inheritance? And how do we know that? Well, it's not for everybody, is it? This inheritance will not go to everybody. It will only go to those who have trusted in the mercies of God. It will only go to those who have been born again, made Jesus our Lord and Savior. It will only go to those who have trusted in the resurrection. You see, this living hope only applies for those who have made Jesus their Lord and Savior. But how do we know that it's going to be there when our time is up? I got to thinking about that, and I don't know, we hear all the time, I've heard this for a long time, that, you know, Social Security is going to someday not be there, okay? The pensions that we have and the way the government's going to give our money back to us, supposedly that is maybe someday not going to happen because they're going to run out of money. Our living hope in God is not like Social Security. Our living hope in God is secured by, the Bible tells us, by the power of God. Look at verse 5 there. It says, who are protected by the power of God. Our inheritance, our living hope, is protected by God Almighty. The one who created the heavens, the one who hung the moon and the stars out there, the one who can raise the dead. He has the power to protect our inheritance. The Bible says in John 10:29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. You see, what a great promise that is. See, that's hope, is it not? Believing that God will do what he said he will do. And when God says, I have an inheritance for you in heaven, it is protected by my power. No, nobody, nothing can ever change that. Nobody can ever snatch you from my hand. You are born again, and nothing can change that. You know, as Christians, we have what's known as the Christian hope. And it's anchored in the past. The past being that Jesus died and rose again from that grave. It is anchored in the continuous of the present, that it continues in the present, because we know Jesus is alive and well today, that he's no longer in that tomb, that he lives and he is at the right hand of the Father. And our hope is anchored in that it endures throughout eternity. It's a promise of eternal life. That is hope, that God will do what he says he will do. Our living hope in this world today, thinking about what's going to happen someday in the future, allows us, does it not, to go through the trials and the temptations and the heartaches and the sufferings that we deal with. As we keep our eye upon what's going to happen one day in the future. Life can be difficult. Life can be hard. But our living hope says that we can overcome that. Our living hope says that no matter what happens here, you've got a home in heaven that nobody can take away from you. No matter what happens here, Romans 8:28 says God will take what happens and he'll make it for your good and for his glory. Without a living hope, how useless this life would be. Christians, we have this living hope that no matter what happens to us here, God has given us a promise that we know where we're going to be when our time is up. Hope is the assurance that God will do what he said he will do. Hope is the living hope that God has promised that we will have eternal life through his Son forever and forever. Aren't you glad God sent his Son to live here on this earth to save his people from their sin? I just want to remind you real quickly, during this Christmas season, Jesus is the Word, God who came to live on this earth, to dwell among us, to save his people from their sins. Jesus is our answer to life's greatest question. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? Jesus is that answer. And Jesus is our hope for eternal life. Without Jesus, you will not have a living eternal life. You'll be separated from holy God forever and forever. Who wants that? Nobody does. Next week, we'll look at Jesus as our Savior and what that means. You know, I got a minute here or two. You know, the Bible tells us that we're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person in this room is a sinner. And the Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, the wages of that sin is death. Separation from holy God forever and forever. But it also says in that verse, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus our Christ our Lord. You see, God made a way for us to be able to spend eternity with him, did he not? And he said, you know, I've got this gift for you people down there. I've got this gift I want to give to you. And that gift is my Son. And all you got to do is accept the gift that I give to you. You just have to accept my Son and make him your Lord and Savior. But you know, at Christmas time, if somebody gives you a gift and you pick up the gift and you never open the gift, you never accept the gift, it's not really a gift, is it? It's not a gift. You have to accept the gift. You have to open the gift. Make it your gift. And that's what Jesus says, I am that gift that I want to give to you. Accept me, please. Open the gift that I want to give to you. Open the gift of eternal life. And all you got to do is make me your Lord and your Savior. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's not rocket science, guys. All that is doing is forgetting the pride that you have, your self-sufficiency that you have, and just saying, Lord, I want you to come into my life. And when you make that declaration and you choose to live and accept Christ into your heart, the Bible says, well, you will live forever. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, every person has a choice to make about their eternity. God doesn't send anybody to hell. Did you know that? He didn't send anybody. You choose to go there. We serve a mighty God who is a gentleman. And if you want nothing to do with Almighty God, if you want nothing to do with Jesus as your Savior, He won't force that upon anybody. He won't force it upon anybody. He goes, if that's what you want, and that's how you want to live here on this earth, it'll hurt Him. He'll want you to repent, but He will never force Himself upon you. He's a gentleman. And when you choose to live this life in rejection of Him and not accept the gift of eternal life here on this earth, He will honor that for an eternity. Did you know that? He'll honor that rejection for eternity and allow you to go to a place where you have chosen to go. And that is to be separated from Holy God. For those that choose the gift of eternity, we get to spend eternity with Him forever and forever. That is that living hope. And we have a pretty good inheritance at that point, do we not? God doesn't want anybody to perish, but all come to repentance. This Christmas season, I would urge you to, if you've never accepted the gift of Jesus as Lord and Savior, I would urge you to do that. There's no better time over the course of 12 months than to do it right now. Forget your pride. Forget your self-sufficiency. Forget who you are. And just tell God, I need your Son in my life. I remember when I did that at Northwest Baptist Church, sitting kind of right back over there. I remember the conviction that I had. And I remember the battle that was going on in my life. And I didn't understand all of it then. But I knew I had an enemy that was here talking to me that, don't take that first step out of that pew, Don. Don't do it. Don't do it. But then I had a conviction, and I didn't know what it was in, but I had something going on that said, take that first step. Get out of that pew. Quit holding on to that pew, Don. Take that first step. And when I took that first step from the pew, what a release that was. Because you see, I was going to the Savior. I was the prodigal son who now was coming to the Father. And when I came to the Father and I told Him what I wanted to do, the Father wrapped His arms around me and said, let's celebrate. My son that was lost, my son that was dead has now been found. Man, I would wish that for everybody in this room. That if you've never been born again, given your heart and life to Christ, I would urge you to do it today. God's not mad at you. I promise you, He's not mad at you. I promise you. No matter what you've done in your life, no matter what direction you've taken, no matter how awful you've been, God says, just come to me, and I'll wrap my loving arms around you, and you make my Son your Lord and your Savior. And we will throw a big party here, and we'll throw a big party in heaven. Because one that is dead has now been found and is alive in Christ. Don't you want that in your life? As we bow our heads and begin our invitation time, that's the invitation. Christians, you have a living hope. Unbelievers, you have a hope, and that hope is found in Jesus. All you got to do is accept the gift that God wants to give to you, and that is His Son. Make it happen today. Let Him rejoice in heaven today. Let Him rejoice right now here in this room that a lost sinner has now been born again. You do business with God. If you've got conviction in your heart and you don't know what it is, that's probably the Holy Spirit drawing you to Him, saying, come, come to me. All who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As the piano plays, you do business with Holy God.